Last Sunday, after po ng long and busy week po naming pamilya, we have decided to rest a little and then enjoy po yung kasama po yung asawa ko tsaka yung dalawang anak na manood ng movie. Nanood po kami ng movie sa Netflix, which yung title po ng movie nito is Swapped. I don't know kung ilan sa inyo yung nakapanood na nito. And this story is about a valley was destroyed by a firewolf. Wanted to spread fear tsaka yung terror po throughout sa land na yun. And there was this little woodland creature named Ollie, Puko yung tawag po nila, and yung kaibigan niya na Javan bird na si Ivy. And what first sworn enemies, but because of one incident na nangyari po sa kanila, they faced to force and walk a mile on each other's shoe. I meaning nag-swap po sila ng swap places, kumbaga. So through that experience, they became friends and eventually fought against yung firewolf na ito, leading to the restoration of the valley to its former beauty and peace. So in many ways, friends, our passage this morning, sa Obadiah 19 to 21, points us to a greater restoration. The restoration of God's people under His rule, the consummation of His kingdom where peace and true righteousness reign. My vegan, with so many things that is happening around us right now, and saan yung peace po natin is being disturbed, where do we place our ultimate hope for lasting peace, for restoration, and true change? Saan po ba nakaangkla yung peace po natin? Saan tayo umaasa for a lasting change, a lasting restoration na hinahanap po natin sa buhay natin? Our main point this morning is this: God rules and restores His people in His kingdom through Christ the King. God rules and restores His people in His kingdom through Christ the King. I have divided po yung passage natin into two parts. Una po yung restoration, which we'll cover yung verses 19 to 20, and the rule of God, which will cover yung last verse po ng Obadiah, verse 21. Let's begin with our first point, the restoration. Basahin po natin ulit yung passage po natin in ESV. Sabi po dito, those of Negev shall possess Mount Esau, and those of Cephalah shall possess the land of Philistines. They shall possess the land of Ephraim and the land of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. The exiles of the host of the people of Israel shall possess the land of Canaanites, as far as Zarephath, and the exiles of Jerusalem who are in Sephard shall possess the cities of Negev. Last week po ating nakita kung paano ginamit ng Diyos yung judgment sa Edom bilang preview po ng kanyang greater na judgment sa lahat ng bansa. We also understood that the day of the Lord carries two different meaning depending po sa recipient, whether you are God's enemy or you are God's friend. For God's enemies, yung day of the Lord po means judgment. Judgment. But for God's people, it means deliverance. It means restoration. It means peace. It means experiencing yung kanyang reign. And here, in verse 19 to 20, we see yung continuation po ng deliverance and restoration aspect ng day of the Lord. In verse 18, nakita natin how God promised to deliver His people, the exile, from the hand of their oppressors, from Babylon's and any other places of the world. They will be gathered once again in Mount Zion and make them holy. Yan po yung nakita natin noong nakaraang linggo. While here, makikita natin that God will enable His people to repossess, reconquer yung promised land. Ito po yung mapapansin natin dito. Now, the question is, bakit mahalaga itong territory na ito or yung mga names na nakikita natin in verses 19 to 21? And I don't know if it makes sense during ng week nito nung pinag-aaralan natin. The question is, bakit mahalaga yung mga territory na ito? Or shall we say, yung land na ito para sa mga tao ng Diyos? Well, yung rason po is dahil ang land or yung territory na ito is one of the foundational sign of God's covenant promise sa kay Abraham. To their forefathers, si Abraham, si Isaac, at saka si Jacob. Kung maalala po natin, that God promised to Abraham in Genesis to make him a great nation. Di po ba? And to be a great nation, he needed to have yung people, which is nangyari now in verse 18, yung land, which is nangyayari ngayon, and yung spiritual blessing to make them a great nation or to be a representative, God's representative to the world. If you're going to open your Bible in Genesis chapter 15, verse 7, this is what God had promised to Abraham. Sabi doon, and he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. Yan po yung Canaan na sinasabi dyan. And if you're going to jump to verse 18, this is what God said to him after God established or ratified yung kanyang covenant, unconditional covenant niya kay Abraham. Itong sinabi ng Panginoon sa kanya, to your offspring, I give this land from river of Egypt to the great river of Euphrates. Kasama po yan yung buong Canaan. After many years, God reiterated yung promise na ito sa kay Jacob. Kung maalala ninyo in Genesis 28, pag-aralan po natin ng mga nakaraang mga buwan ito, kung saan si Jacob was fleeing sa kanyang kapatid na si Esau and going, heading to Laban, yung kanyang uncle. At sa kanyang stop po sa Padam Aram, there was this dream, a ladder dream, kung saan nagpakita sa kanya yung Panginoon through yung dream nga. At sabi doon ng Panginoon sa kanya, your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in you, and your offspring, shall all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So this is the reason why if you observe in verses 19 to 20, God through Prophet Obadiah intentionally repeated po yung salitang possess. Or possess, or shall possess the land. Or in Hebrew, that's yerash. Dahil ang verb po na possess na ito is always linked to God's covenant sa kanilang forefather na si Abraham. And if you are an exile during that time, sitting sa Babylon, wondering na wala kaming nation ngayon, we are scattered, this is a message of hope. Because it answers yung theological questions nila, the same questions kung naalala ninyo yung first ng beginning po ng ating sermon series that we've asked, yung question na, does God cares for us? Nakikita ba ng Diyos yung affliction na pinagdadaanan natin? Did He forget His covenant promise to us? Or did He forget about us and abandon us in our misery? The same questions po na we often ask. We face, every time but we face various problems. Hindi po ba? But here, kung makikita po tayo, the beginning of verse 19, God is reminding them, and even us, that we have a God who does not forget what He has promised to His people. He cares for us, and He will not abandon us in our misery. Yet, there is another aspect po sa word na possess na ito, or yung yerash na ito, because yung word na ito does not only imply God's faithfulness to His covenant, His covenant promise to His people, but at the same time, it also describes or requires man's fidelity, yung faithfulness po natin sa Diyos. That is, our obedience sa kanyang covenant na binigay sa atin. Kung saan, most of the time, and even all of the time, this is where they, including us, falter and fall short. Di po ba? In the first conquest of the promised land, makikita natin in Numbers 34 na yung mga names po na nakabanggit dito in verses 19 to 20 are part po ng original na allotment para sa 12 tribes. Kung babalik kayo ng aklat ng Numbers, Numbers 34, makikita nyo po yung mga names na ito. But one chapter before that, if you're going to open your Bible in Numbers 33 verse 55, this was the warning of God to them. Sabi doon, if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then Those of them whom you let remain shall be barbs in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall trouble you in the land where you dwell. Again, another exercise. Let's go to the book of Joshua. During the first conquest nila, this is how they were described there. Sa aklat na ito. Sabi ng Panginoon in Joshua 13 verse 13, sabi doon, that yet the people of Israel did not drive out the Gerizzites, the Maacathites, but Yeshur and Maacath dwell in the midst of Israel to this day. Kaya in the dying years of Joshua, ito yung sinabi ng Panginoon sa kanya. In Joshua 13, 1 and 2, you are old and advanced in years, and there yet remains lands to possess, including po yan yung land ng Palestine. Although during the time of David and Solomon, they took possession most of the areas ng promised land, yet hindi po ito nag-last. Mababasa niyo po yan in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 21. Well, the question is, bakit hindi ito tumagal sa kanila? Bakit they lost possession of it? Simply because of their infidelity, their unfaithfulness to God and to His covenant promise to them. And here's the thing now. Unlike yung first conquest na ginawa nila in the book of Genesis, in the book of Joshua, Numbers, and Judges, the second conquest is far better because the scope is more comprehensive and complete. Makikita nyo yan in verses 19 and 20. Paano po natin nasabi yan? First notice, paano yung nagsimula yung verse 19 at paano nag-end yung verse 20? It begins with the word Negev. Hindi po ba? And it ends with the word Negev. Yung tawag po dyan ng mga scholars is inclusio. Kasi it's like an envelope na kung saan yung gitna po niyan is the meat or yung mensahe na gustong i-emphasize ng Diyos. At ano ito? Yung word po na possess the land, which is repeated 6 times. Well, in verse 19, makikita natin dito na yung focus dito is for the remnants within the kingdom. Perhaps ito yung mga remnants na hindi nadala nung sinalakay sila ng Babylon at diniport papuntang Babylon. So, nandoon sila and yung mga tao na to, they've witnessed how the Edomites encroach o kinuha, sinamsam yung kanilang mga ari-arian. And now, sabi nito, they are to take possession of Mount Edom. Salip, in few verses, kung naalala ninyo nung mga nakaraang linggo, they were proud of their territory, na they are impenetrable. They even boast, who can bring us to the ground? But yet here, makita natin, when God enabled His people to extend their territory, wala silang nagawa. From south, yung kingdom was stretched throughout the southwest. While those remnant naman from Sephala, a place near Judah, extended towards westward, kung saan sinasabi doon possession of the coastal sea or seaside ng Palestinians, kung saan yung historical location ng Gaza is located. And the second line of verse 19, there are those remnants naman who will possess yung north side, yung nasa gitna. They are, yung territory na to is the territory of Ephraim and its capital city ng Samaria. If alam ninyo kung paano yung history ng Israel, then you know na nag-divide yung kingdom na to. At una nawala yung northern kingdom, which is yung kingdom ng Israel. Yung Judah was still there, and they are the one na recipients po ng aklat ng Obadiah. Kung titingnan po na, yung interesting dito, because yung territory na ito fell to the hands of Assyrian on 722 BC, long before pa na sinakop ng mga Babylonians ang Judah. This is interesting po kasi yung style ng Assyrian, every time na they conquer a nation, yung ginagawa po nila kanilang mga nahuhuli is they scatter it abroad. Unlike po sa mga Babylonians that they import yung mga best ng city na yon o ng nation na yon at gagamitin nila sa kanilang nasyon. Ito, iba po sa kanila. So meaning, yung lugar ni Ephraim to Samaria with foreigners. Ganito po yung itsura nito ng mga panahon nito. But here, God promised to the Israelites that God will restore this lost kingdom sa kanila. O just a quick side application lamang mga kapatid. Marahil nandito ka ngayon at naiisip mo na huli na yung lahat para sa'yo. Na napakasama mo para iligtas ka ng Panginoon. O baka dahil sa kasuklam-suklam mga kasalanan na ginawa mo at hindi ka, naiisip mo na hindi ka na kayang patawarin ng Diyos. Well, look at this. These people in our passage this morning, they were given repeatedly by God na kanyang warning. Do not do this. Keep these commandments. Do this and do that and the blessing will be yours. But yet, yung ginawa po nila is nagrebelde pa rin sila sa Diyos. Ngunit, yung kagandahan dito is ang grasya sa kayong habag ng Diyos towards them. They don't deserve this. Ngunit ibinalik pa rin sila ng Diyos, hindi lamang sa teritoryo nila, but to His own self, under His care, and under His protection. Kung matitingnan po natin, verse 19, hindi lang po yung territory ni Ephraim sa northern kingdom will be restored dahil kahit kay Benjamin, his territory will be repossessed then, reconquered, and will expand to Transjordan. Now, in verse 20 naman, from remnants, si Obadiah will focus naman sa mga exiles who will repossess yung kanilang mga lands. Kung titingnan po ninyo yung first part ng verse 20, it is addressed to the exiles of the northern kingdom, o yung Israel, yung lost kingdom ng Israel, were scattered and they were integrated sa iba't ibang kultura and nation. But here, God will gather them again to repossess the whole Canaan, stretching yung territory nila toward sa pinakataas, sa Zarephath, and yung tinatawag po natin ngayon na modern Lebanon. While yung second part naman is the southern kingdom, yung mga Jerusalemites, na kung saan sabi ng mga scholars, this is yung mga exiles who were put doon sa may Spain or sa Sardis. And same sa mga taga-northern kingdom, yung promise po sa kanila, they will return as well and repossess yung cities nila. Yung cities of Negev, yung lower part ng Judah. Well, ano pong ibig sabihin nila? What does it mean to us? Kumbaga, na kung titingnan mo yung history po, we can see a little glimpse of repossession of the land during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. And perhaps even more beyond that, you might even think or look at Israel today, it may seem na hindi naman ito nangyari. Well, some would say na na-fulfill na ito. But, hear this one, friends. Yung point po ng passage natin is that these are just glimpses for us of a better, a more comprehensive, a more complete restoration that God will bring when Christ returns. Our passage points us to a better land, a better territory, and a better city. Not a place that is flowing with milk and honey, but one that is dazzling and shining with the very glory of God Himself. And even yung patriarch na si Abraham, the first recipient ng promise, ng covenant promise na ito, longed to see it as he was looking forward to it. Just like sa sinabi po sa may Hebrews chapter 11 verse 10. Sabi po ng author doon, for he, that is Abraham, was looking forward to the city that has foundation, whose designer and builder is God. In like manner, friends, we too should look forward and long for this city as well, whose foundation is unshakable, whose design is incorruptible, and whose builder and creator is the creator of all things. This one who created the world by His word is God Himself. Kaibigan, isang magandang paalaala po ito sa atin, not to place our ultimate hope, our joy, our satisfaction in earthly, temporal things. God has promised us in Christ more than what Dubai can offer us, more than what your job can provide for you, and more than what your family or relationship can give you. Crossroads, God designed a city that is far superior, far more excellent, far more advanced, and far more magnificent than any cities na nakikita natin sa mundong ito. Don't settle for anything less than what is eternal. Marahil nandito ka ngayon at nagtataka ka kung paano ito mangyayari. Paano ito magiging posible since we are not a physical descendants of Abraham? How can we have the same claim sa promise nito? And I'm glad na nagtanong po kayo. That's a very good question. And si Apostle Paul po is a great help po dito. So open your Bible in the book of Galatians chapter 3 verse 29. Galatians chapter 3 verse 29. Sabi po dito, if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Dahil nanguhulugan po ito that regardless ng iyong personal background, yung ethnicity mo, yung physical descent mo, kung saan ka man ang galing, if you put your faith in Jesus, in His life, in His death, and in His resurrection, you become a spiritual descendant of Abraham. Heirs of the promise. Friends, inclusion in the kingdom of God is not by physical descent or by any theological or religious affiliation na meron ho tayo. Hindi po. Hindi rin ho ito dahil miyembro ka ng Crossroads. Hindi ho. But just like Abraham, who is called the father of faith, and his descendants who are called to faithfulness and obedience to God, ganito rin po sa atin. It still remains. We are included and able to receive yung inheritance nito to be in the kingdom of God by virtue of faith. Faith in God through Christ. The requirements does not change. It's still the same. It's always by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. No good works or anything needed to be added po dito. It is only by faith. And by faith, you will become a legitimate child of God. Sabi nga sa Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11, in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, a spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Si Apostle Peter describes us kung anong klaseng inheritance na ito in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. Sabi niya, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. And here's the good thing, mga kapatid. If you are in Christ, this inheritance po is already a reality po para sa atin. By faith, it is already ours. Though not yet fully revealed, it is reserved for everyone who is in Christ Jesus. And that is the gospel, yung promise po ng gospel po para sa atin. And if this is the case, how does this truth affects us sa ating pamumuhay? How does this shape yung perspective po natin, our confidence in Christ, when we face crisis sa ating mga trabaho, sa ating mga finances, if we lost some of our properties? Paano ito naka-apekto sa ating pamumuhay bilang mga Kristiyano? Tulad po sa mga exiles during the time of Prophet Obadiah, we too can look forward to that inheritance. Not just a piece of land, but a far superior inheritance kept in heaven for us in Christ Jesus. But what about the expansion na sinasabi dito ni Obadiah? What about the expansion of the kingdom, yung territory dito of God's kingdom? What does it look like in our modern age? Paano ito ngayon? To answer this, I am reminded and I love po yung conversation na nangyari between sa kay Jesus Christ at sa kanyang mga disciples. before Jesus Christ was ascended back to His heavenly kingdom. If you're going to open your Bible in Acts, Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, yung mga disciples po dito were there witnessing si Jesus Christ about to ascend into heaven. And hindi po nila mapigilan yung kanilang sarili. At nagtanong po sila, para sa kanila importante po ito. Dito po yung naging katanungan nila. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And listen to Jesus' response to them, which captures po yung whole essence ng aklat po ng Acts, yung expansion and explosion po ng church. Look at verse 8 ng Acts chapter 1. Ano naging sagot ni Jesus Christ dyan? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. For what purpose? And you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the world, of the earth. Crossroads. This means that God's kingdom is the gathering of people who have been redeemed, who have been reconciled and united under the cross of Christ. And He is expanding the territory of His kingdom through the faithful preaching and teaching of His word. And whenever a group of people who are saved and reconciled to God through Christ or through faith in Christ gathers in worship, God's kingdom is there as well. God's kingdom is present. Try to think of churches and pastors that we know. Pastor Marwan in Lebanon, Andre in Iraq, TJ Smith of Redeemer Dubai, John Fulmer of ECC, Brian Parks of Covenant Hope, Aubrey Siquera of Abu Dhabi, Anand Samuel of Sharjah, Josh Manley of Ras Al Khaimah, Jesse Brannan of Fujairah, Derek Parfan of Pilipinas, and the list goes on. And oh, even you, even us Crossroads, we too are part of God's kingdom, which is expanding all over the world. And this is also the reason why we pray for like-minded churches and for the nations sa ating mga pastoral prayer. Because we are praying that the territory of God's kingdom will advance further in power through the might of God's word to the nations. Tayo din po mga kaibigan are kingdom citizens who work in advancing the kingdom in the world. So let me encourage all of us, just like yung sinabi ko po last week, let us continue to share the gospel with our friends, to your colleagues, to your classmates, to your housemates and loved ones, so that they too would become a part of this expanding territory of God's kingdom and would also receive yung inheritance ito that we now have in Christ Jesus. Friends, it is through us, through Christ's church, and through the faithful preaching and teaching of His word that God brings life to spiritually dead, spiritually impervious, in dying souls. He gathers and welcomes these people like us in His table to dine with Him, not only every Lord's Day or every Sunday, but as we anticipate to a greater feast that we will share with Him in all eternity. This is just a preview po yung gathering po natin. So let us not take light Crossroads. Let us not take light of this. Rather, let us faithfully carry out the task that God has entrusted to us. But what is our assurance that this new conquest, this repossession of the land or the territory of the kingdom will last and be successful? Well, to answer that, because God Himself will establish His rule. Tingnan po natin yung ating second point. Let's read verse 21. Sabi po dito, Savior shall go up to Mount Zion to rule Mount Ephraim, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Now, sino po, sino ho ba yung mga saviors dito at bakit they are to rule Mount Esau? Kung titingnan po natin, just as the territory of the kingdom has been restored, the next thing na kailangan i-establish is the governance, yung leadership po. Sa NIV, yung salitang saviors, or with a small s, ay deliverers. Ito po yung pag-render ng NIV. In Hebrew, that is Yasha. And their work, as indicated po ng name na ito, yung noun na ito, is to rescue, to persevere, to judge, to exercise justice, and to keep God's people safe. Ito po yung ibig sabihin, ito po yung ibig sabihin nito. They are also to be a model to God's people. They are to lead God's people in upright kind of living, to keep the law or the word of Yahweh in the midst of the nation. A life that reflects your fidelity and faithfulness sa Diyos. Ito po yung task na kailangan nilang gawin. Simply, God appointed them as His representative. A representative to His people. For the good of His people and for the glory of God's name. Remember, yung purpose po, one of the purpose why God established yung kingdom ng Israel is to make them a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Ayan po yung sinabi ng Panginoon sa kay Abraham, to the patriarchs. And yung work po ng mga saviors dito is isang reminiscence o isang paalala po sa atin ng work ng mga judges sa aklat ng Judges. Kung saan makikita natin how the Lord raised up yung mga saviors or deliverers to deliver His people from the dominion of their enemies and to push back yung kingdom na kanilang kaaway. To maintain yung peace, to maintain yung rule ni Yahweh sa bansa, sa kanilang land. For example, in Judges chapter 3, verse 9, may kita natin doon, but when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up deliverers for the people of Israel who saved them. While yung Mount Zion po dito does not only represent po yung God's dwelling place or yung presensya ng Panginoon with His people, but in a broader context, yung pagagamit po dito ng Mount Zion, in biblical context, is it represents the spiritual kingdom of God. It represents yung spiritual kingdom of God. And in contrast, yung Mount Esau naman represents yung kingdom of God's enemies. Those who acted and behaved like the Edomites. Those who are enemies and hostile to God's people. So ang movement dito na shall go up, is God's enabling work to establish yung earthly kings, yung mga saviors, yung mga deliverers, or in general, God's people as His representative to rule and execute justice, to restore order, and to push back yung kingdom na kanilang mga kaaway. For example, if you're going to, if nabasa na po ninyo yung aklat po ng Ezra and Nehemiah, after many years, it's about 70 years na nasa exile yung mga Hudyo na ito, God raised up si King Cyrus ng Persia. Yung Persian kingdom defeated yung Babylon, and this King Cyrus made an edict. He made an edict na allowing yung mga Hudyo na ito to return to their homeland and restore yung city tsaka yung temple. When the restoration started, of course, hindi ito naging seamless or naging smooth. They face opposition. One of which is si Sanballat, who is a Horithite. And yung iba naman is yung mga Ammonites. The work was halted. Yun yung nangyari doon sa book ng Ezra. But again, God raised up another king from Persian kingdom. So during naman ito sa time ni Nehemiah, ang apo po ni King Cyrus na si Darius. And he ordered yung continuation of Jerusalem. At the end of Ezra, makikita natin that God's law is restored. Binabasa po ni Ezra sa mga Hudyo. And people were confessing yung kanilang mga kasalanan. Meaning, there is a restoration of fellowship nila sa kay Yahweh. And Si Nehemiah naman, may kita naman natin at the end of the book of Nehemiah, there is a restoration of worship. A final reformation is happening sa kingdom ng Israel. And it was good. It was good for God's people. It was good na it could possibly end up na sana yung history ng mundong ito. But hindi nangyari. The Greeks invaded them in 32 BC, and later on, sinakop din ho sila ng mga Romano in 63 BC. So yung question is, bakit? Bakit hindi pa ni-restore ng Diyos yung kingdom sa panahon na yun? Dahil po yung point po ng mga saviors na ito, yung mga kings and priests and people na ginamit ng Diyos, ay temporary solution lamang. Mga kaibigan, our problem po is too big and too deep that no human king or human power can cure yung severe problem ng puso natin. Those temporary saviors were appointed by God to point us to a greater savior. A savior whose kingdom is not limited to any geographical location on earth, but is heavenly. Kaya nga in the fullness of time, God sent His very best. Unlike those small saviors, temporary leaders who are fallen, limited in power, limited in their capacity, limited in their time, limited in their knowledge, and in their very nature, just like us, fallen and sinful, this Savior is perfect. He is holy. He is infinite in glory and in might. Yet for our own sake, He took on the form of a servant and came in human likeness to represent us. Friends, He is truly God and truly man. As the angel revealed to Joseph in Matthew 1:21, that His name shall be called Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. No human king could ever do this. Friends, Jesus led His people into His kingdom not through military power or political tactics, but through His own blood shed on the cross on our behalf. He took on our sins on His body and died the death that we all deserve, so that you and I, through faith in His life, in His death, in His resurrection, in His ascension, might enter and be welcome into the kingdom of God. Through Christ, friends, the kingdom of God is no longer limited or located in one particular place, but is spread across all places where people come under the lordship of Christ Jesus, our Savior. And through the church, God rules and His dominion are being displayed and exercised in every corner of the world. And if you are here, mga kaibigan, you do not have yet yung relationship nito sa kay Kristo. If you place your faith in Him, you will also become part of God's kingdom. That's the promise of the gospel to us. Mga kaibigan, there is no middle ground po dito. It's either na parte ka ng kingdom ng Diyos o parte ka ng kingdom ng kaaway ng Diyos. That's the only choice that we have. It is only earned by grace, not by works. So I urge you, kung nandito ka ngayon, to repent of your sins and place your faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. And here's the thing, mga kaibigan. That every time, if you are in Christ, every time that we bring the gospel to the world, we act like these little saviors. We act like these deliverers, not in an ultimate sense, but an instrument of God's saving work. We're doing transferring for those who are in the dominion of darkness, transferring them into the dominion of light, in the kingdom of God. Every time that we share yung gospel, that's the work that we are doing. We are allowing God's work to progress, allowing us to be used by Him, by grace. Kung marahil nandito ka rin ngayon and you feel frustrated sa mga current events po na nangyayari sa mundo ngayon, particularly sa mga sa geopolitics po, sa Philippine politics, or sa mga social issues na nangyayari sa mundo ngayon. To point na minsan, hindi na po tayo nakakatulog. Hindi ka nakakain dahil sa sobrang inis, sa anxiety. Friends, let us remember that we are living in a fallen world with fallen people, prideful and selfish people like you and me. This is not only true to those na yung mga tao na nasa posisyon, who are in power. But here's the thing. The one who plays them sa kanilang posisyon knows what he is doing. I'm not talking about yung human voters, but I'm talking about God. He's the one who placed them there. The fact that they are there means God is the one who placed them sa posisyon nila. He knows what he is doing. And the question is, yung question po para sa atin is this, will we trust God sa kanyang ginagawa? This is the same call po for those who are in exile sa mga panahon na ito. They too were experiencing yung hardships and struggling to make sense sa mga nangyayari sa kanila. The same call goes out to them. Will they trust God? And same as us, will we trust Him? As Daniel chapter 2 verse 21 tells us of this, that God changes times and seasons. He removes kings and set up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Second, Paul, this points us to hope in God's kingdom. As God's people, He placed us sa kanyang iglesia to steer one another up and remind one another that our ultimate hope is hindi makikita sa mundong ito. Hindi po makikita sa mga kings and princesses. But our ultimate hope in life and in death is Christ, our Savior. As Psalms 146 verse 3 and 5 reminds us of this, put not your trust in princesses, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth, and on that day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, his God. So ano po yung dapat natin gawin? Well, we should pray for our leaders instead of fighting over them. Let's pray for them. Pray for one another. We seek the unity in the Spirit sa iglesyang ito, dito sa Crossroads. So ito rin po yung rason kung bakit pinapanalangin po natin na yung mga leaders po natin, yung mga rulers po natin. We ask God to give them wisdom so that they will live and act with honor and dignity as they serve yung nation that is entrusted to them. And as a church, let us keep on doing this. And as we do the task that God entrusted to us, this is where we fix our eyes and hope, brothers and sisters, sa sinabi ni Obadiah in the last part of verse 21. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. This is the assurance that God gives to the original audience ng aklat nito. And the same assurance din po yung binibigay ng Diyos sa atin sa umagang ito. That God will ultimately reign for eternity. Mga kapatid, human history is moving in this direction, whether you like it or not. A time will come when God will ultimately remove and cleanse yung buong mundo ng kanyang kaaway. And no rival power will ever able to stand against or stop yung kanyang pag-reign. Even though, for a time, nakikita po natin that God allows yung mga proud, yung mga rebellious, to continue and exercise some power, building their kingdom of darkness. But in the final day, when the last trumpet will sound, will reign as sovereign rule over the universe for eternity. As Revelation 11, verses 15 says, "Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of the Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" Kaibigan, is Christ the King of your life? Is He the King of your life? O baka yung pagkakakilala lang natin sa Kanya, or we view Him as a historical figure written in the pages of the Scripture. Kaibigan, paano ba ito nakikita sa buhay natin? That Christ is indeed the King of our life. Friends, may I encourage you, I encourage all of us not to put our hope in this world, but to fix our eyes on Christ, His kingdom, and yung inheritance that is imperishable, unfading, kept in heaven for all those whom He has redeemed. In closing, yung short book po ng Obadiah reminds us that though proud may rise for a moment and sin may flourish, yet yung sovereign Lord will surely bring down the wicked and establish yung righteous kingdom niya. Therefore, friends, crossroads, let us continue to flee to Christ the King, for in Him there is salvation, for in Him there is restoration, for in Him there is a certain hope that the kingdom shall be the Lord's. God rules and restores His people in His kingdom through Christ the King. Manalangin po tayo. Father, we thank You that by Your grace, You enable us to persevere in this life. We pray, O Lord, that You would keep us until the coming of Your Son. Keep us holy and eager to advance Your kingdom by sharing Your word with the lost, so that they too may be saved from the dominion of darkness into Your marvelous light. And may Your word continue to strengthen us, not only this week, but throughout our Christian journey. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.